Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Radio Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso. Today, we've got the rundown on where you can find fireworks and 4th of July festivities in East County and San Diego's inland region if you don't want to fight the crowds at those coastal shows. We'll also have an alert for you on some road closures coming up in Campo for Caltrans work along Interstate 8, and a warning from the county about a sharp rise in fentanyl overdose deaths. Then on Tribal Beat, hear about actions taken by Interior Department Secretary Deb Haaland to investigate Indian boarding school sites in the U.S. after disturbing revelations out of Canada where hundreds of bodies of Indian children have been found at similar schools there. Santee's City Council has approved the new budget, including a raise for city officials, and we'll have details. Death of a volunteer counting bighorn sheep in the Anzabarego Desert has raised concern over the safety of participants. And on Crime Beat, hear about a reward offered for information leading to the arrest in the killing of Kenneth Love, a security guard shot in Spring Valley. Our newsmaker interview today is Patrick Lee Horde, a wildlife biologist and co-founder of La Jolla Friends of the Seals. He'll be talking about an injunction blocking 4th of July fireworks to protect the seals and the impacts of fireworks on wildlife across our region. And finally, we'll be re-airing our annual 4th of July special, our interview with actors portraying our nation's founding fathers and mothers, with comments in the founders' actual words about the issues facing America back when our nation was founded, issues that still resonate for Americans today. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters. Welcome to East County Magazine's Destination East County, bringing you all of the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County each week. This is Miriam Raftery with this week's Destination East County. Fireworks are back in San Diego's inland region, along with many traditional 4th of July festivities from parades to picnics to patriotic music, rides, games, and more. The City of Santee's annual July 4th celebration will feature a patriotic ceremony with a Marine Corps Color Guard at 6 p.m., followed by the 80s All-Stars concert at 6:30 at Town Center Park. Fireworks will launch at 9 p.m. from two locations, in Santee, Town Center Park, and West Hills Park, though West Hills is closed to the public. Parking and event gates at Town Center Park will open at 2 p.m. with food vendors starting at 4. Parking spots in surrounding city-owned lots can be purchased in advance at santeesalutes.com. Founded in 1870, the historic Gold Rush town of Julian turned 150 years old last year. Due to the pandemic, no events could be held then, so this year's 4th of July parade has the theme Julian 150 plus 1 years. Pre-parade activities start at 10 a.m. and the parade begins at noon, including a flyover. Main Street closes down at 9 a.m., so plan to arrive early. Visitors are invited to line Main Street and wave flags while cheering on marching bands, saluting a Marine Color Guard, and watching a giant American flag carried down the thoroughfare. There will also be antique cars, vintage tractors, comedy entries, belly dancers, and World War II submariners. Later, you can enjoy music on live stages and a deep pit barbecue dinner for a fee. For details, visit julianparade.com. Ramona's Chamber of Commerce, Kiwanis, and Rotary Club invite you to a July 4th celebration that starts with a 4 p.m. picnic in the field behind Olive Pierce Middle School, where food vendors range from snow cones to kettle corn. A fireworks show at 9 p.m. will be set to music from Star 94.1 FM iHeartRadio, and you can find details at ramonachamber.com. The City of El Cajon will host its annual fireworks display at 9 p.m. July 4th at Kennedy Park. Fireworks will be set to music also with Star 94.1 on the radio. The park will be open for viewing, but no other activities are planned this year. You can celebrate our nation's independence in turn of the 20th century style at Old Poway Park. The event from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. features patriotic entertainment, Western reenactors, model trains, crafts, and old-fashioned games. And for a nominal fee, you can also enjoy train rides and tasty treats. Shuttles to and from this event are available from Poway City Hall and Poway Adult School parking lots. Bates Nut Farm and Valley Center invites you to celebrate from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. on July 4th, where you can enjoy a vintage car show along with live music, rides, food, and more. And you can find details at batesnutfarm.biz. Find all of these events and many more at eastcountymagazine.org in our events section, on our calendar, and in our Destination East County column.
See you around, East County.
Caltrans crews will be replacing guardrails that will require full closures off on-ramps from Crestwood Road in Campo onto Interstate 8. The closures are scheduled for 4 weeks starting July 6th. Although there are no designated detours, warning signs will be placed ahead of the closures in locations that will allow drivers to choose an alternate route. This construction schedule is subject to change based on weather or traffic incidents. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Mitchell Murphy.
The top law enforcement leaders in San Diego County are sounding the alarm about a concerning increase in overdose deaths related to fentanyl, especially among younger people. The District Attorney's Office, Sheriff's Department, and Police Chiefs and Sheriff's Association are pushing out the warning on social media in an effort to educate youth and parents that if the pill you're taking didn't come from a pharmacy, it could kill you. In 2019, there were 151 fentanyl-related overdose deaths in San Diego County. According to the San Diego County Medical Examiner's Office, there were 461 fentanyl-related overdose deaths in San Diego County in 2020, triple the number from the year before. While it's still early, the projection for 2021 is 700 such overdose deaths. The District Attorney's Office is part of the Narcotics Task Force Team 10, which responds to an average of 5 to 6 calls per week. Most are fatal overdoses and most involving a fentanyl-related overdose. The deaths are occurring in every part of the county and affecting every demographic. D.A. Summer Steffen says, quote, "Parents are finding their children dead from fentanyl overdoses, boyfriends are finding their girlfriends dead, and children are being put at risk by this alarming spike. We've been sounding this alarm for years, but the problem is only getting worse." She adds, quote, "Fentanyl-laced drugs continue to be sold on the streets, and we need to get the word out that you never know what you're taking if it's not from the pharmacy." Sheriff Bill Gore says his department's mission is to save lives. San Diego Sheriff's deputies were the first in the western United States to carry a nasal spray called naloxone to counter the effects of an opioid overdose. Sheriff Gore says, quote, "So far this year, we have saved 59 people from overdosing. These are people deputies and medical staff have encountered on patrol, courthouses, and our jails." In January of this year, an active firefighter overdosed and died from fentanyl. In February, two women in Point Loma smoked what they thought was methamphetamine and went to bed. The methamphetamine turned out to be mixed with fentanyl. One of the women woke up the next morning, the other did not. In February of this year, an 8-month-old baby was treated at Rady's Children's Hospital after having ingested fentanyl while in the care of his mother and her boyfriend. Administration of naloxone by hospital staff saved the baby's life. The mother and her boyfriend, both with a history of drug use, are charged with felony child endangerment. When appropriate, criminal charges are also filed against dealers whose sales result in an overdose death. Depending on the circumstances, these charges range from the sale of fentanyl causing great bodily injury to murder. There are currently 3 defendants charged with 4 murders for having sold fentanyl that resulted in deaths. Roxana Kennedy, president of the San Diego County Police Chiefs and Sheriff's Association, says, quote, "As first responders, law enforcement officers see firsthand the destruction of drug overdose and the devastation it causes to families. People are dying every day. That's why San Diego County law enforcement leaders are committed to bringing awareness to this issue. We all need to work together to educate our community, including parents and young people." The District Attorney's Office joined forces with the Health and Human Services Agency to launch a large-scale outreach campaign last year, the San Diego Opioid Project, which included messaging about laced substances that can include deadly fentanyl. During a medical emergency, please call 911. If you or someone you know needs help for addiction, call San Diego County's Access and Crisis Line at 888-724-7240 or 211 San Diego for information and support. There are also safe options to get rid of expired, unused, and unwanted medication with no questions asked so that they don't fall into the wrong hands and cause harm. Visit sdsheriff.gov to find a sheriff's Dropbox location near you. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Alexa Oslowski.
This is the East County Magazine Tribal Beat, bringing you news for and about our region's Native American communities. This is Miriam Raftery with East County Magazine's Tribal Beat Report. Speaking to a National Congress of American Indians event, Secretary of the Interior Deb Haaland announced a federal Indian boarding school initiative, a comprehensive review of the troubled legacy of federal boarding school policies. The announcement was prompted by the disturbing news in Canada of discovery of hundreds and hundreds of unmarked graves of Indian children at multiple former boarding school sites where children were reportedly abused, beaten, and starved in the past. Although those atrocities occurred in Canada, Haaland, the first Native American cabinet secretary in the United States, has issued a memo directing the Department of the Interior to prepare a report detailing available historical records on Indian boarding schools here, with an emphasis on cemeteries or potential burial sites. Secretary Haaland said, "The Interior Department will address the intergenerational impact of Indian boarding schools to shed light on the unspoken traumas of the past, no matter how hard it will be." She says the process will be long, difficult, and painful, adding, "It won't undo the heartbreak and loss we feel, but only by acknowledging the past can we work toward a future that we're all proud to embrace." Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary for Indian Affairs Brian Newland says the department will engage in tribal consultation on how best to use this information, protect burial sites, and respect families and communities. Beginning with the Indian Civilization Act of 1819, the U.S. enacted laws and policies establishing and supporting Indian boarding schools across the nation. The purpose of these boarding schools was to culturally assimilate Indigenous children by forcibly relocating them from their families and communities to distant residential facilities where their American Indian, Alaska Native, and Native Hawaiian identities, languages, and beliefs were forcibly suppressed. For over 150 years, hundreds of thousands of Indigenous children were taken from their communities right here in the United States. San Diego County had several Indian boarding schools, including St. Anthony's Indian School and the San Diego Mission and Indian Boarding School. Some local tribal children were also sent to boarding schools outside the county, including Pama children sent to the Sherman Indian School in Riverside County. Of these, only the Sherman School was run by the federal government. The Federal Indian Boarding School Initiative will serve as an investigation about the loss of human life and lasting consequences of residential Indian boarding schools. The main goal will be to identify boarding school sites and any potential burial sites, and the identities and tribal affiliations of children interred at such locations. A final written report on the investigation will be sent to Secretary Haaland by April 1st of next year. The Interior Department continues to operate residential boarding schools through the Bureau of Indian Education today. In sharp contrast to the policies of the past, however, according to the Department of the Interior, today's schools aim to provide a quality education to students from across Indian country and to empower Indigenous youth to better themselves and their communities as they seek to practice their spirituality, learn their language, and carry their culture forward. Santee's City Council has given itself a raise and added new staff, all while rethinking a long-awaited community center. At its June 23rd meeting, the council approved a $50 million operating budget for the next fiscal year, including a 1.5% raise for all council members and staff. The council did not hold any discussion on the budget or mention the raises before voting unanimously to approve these expenditures. Mayor John Minto's salary will rise to over $36,000, and the four council members will have salaries of just over $21,000 each. The council also scheduled the same 1.5% raises for both staff and elected officials for the following fiscal year. That's in addition to monthly car allowances of $400 a month for council members and $450 for the mayor. The council spent most of its time discussing the city's 5-year capital improvement program, which allocates funds over multiple years for big-ticket items such as a community center or a new fire station. The council shifted $860,000 from softball field improvements to road improvements and then directed staff to use state grant funds to pay for the softball field improvements. But that change would mean reduced funding for a planned community center next to the YMCA, something community members have advocated for over many years. The estimated cost for the center, intended for both seniors and teens, is $12.9 million for Phase 1. Some council members called for scaling back the community center. The council says it will meet with an architect to discuss the project later this summer. Councilman Rob McNellis said, "We have to find creative ways to fund and build these types of projects." He views the city's top priorities as deteriorating roads and a rising homeless population. The budget also includes funds for 5 new staff positions, bringing the city's total staffing to 134 full-time jobs. Santee, a city of 57,000 people, derives the bulk of its revenue from property and sales taxes. Property taxes are projected to increase by $769,000 in the next fiscal year. Sales taxes are slated to grow by $428,000. Together, these revenues make up 73% of the general fund revenue. Santee benefited from a federal funding program aimed at helping city and state governments in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic. The city was allocated $7.3 million in federal funds through the American Rescue Plan Act, of which about half has been received, with the remaining funds anticipated later this year. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ in Santee, this is Miriam Raftery.
On June 19th, a volunteer with the annual Bighorn Sheep Count in the Anza Borrego Desert State Park died of a heat-related illness. Medics were called to rescue Donald White of Culver City and another hiker in distress in the early afternoon when temperatures had soared to 117 degrees. The National Weather Service had issued an extreme heat warning, cautioning people to avoid strenuous outdoor activities. White died at the scene. The second hiker was transported to a hospital in critical condition. A firefighter also collapsed during the rescue. The annual Bighorn Sheep Count is held in July each year when heat drives the bighorn down to lower elevations for water, making it easier to count them. But the death has raised questions, with some people on social media suggesting it might be time to utilize drones and trail cameras to conduct the count to avoid putting volunteers at risk. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Alexa Oslowski.
This is East County Magazine's Crime Beat. On the streets, reporting on crimes impacting communities across our region, helping to keep you safe and informed.
This is Mitchell Murphy with the Crime Beat Report. Over a year ago on June 2nd, 2020, Kenneth Love was shot and killed while working as a security guard at a marijuana dispensary on Troy Street in Spring Valley. Now his family is offering a $3,000 reward in addition to a $1,000 reward offered by Crime Stoppers for information leading to the arrest of a suspect in Love's killing. Recently, deputies and volunteers walked door to door in the neighborhood, passing out flyers and talking with residents. They have also released surveillance video showing a person of interest, a young black man wearing a bright blue hoodie, and the vehicle he was driving, a white 2018 Toyota Camry. San Diego Sheriff's Homicide Lieutenant Thomas Xavier says detectives are still following up leads and looking into evidence. To leave an anonymous tip, you can call 888-580-8477 or visit sdcrimestoppers.org.
You're listening to the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice. You can support independent public radio for our region by going to knsj.org and making a donation this Independence Day weekend, and we certainly want to wish all of you a safe and festive 4th of July. Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in East County. Today, my very special guest is Patrick Lee Horde. He's a wildlife biologist and the co-founder and former executive director of La Jolla Friends of the Seals. Today, he's celebrating a victory for environmentalists and the seals after the Coastal Commission blocked a 4th of July fireworks show from taking place close to a seal and sea lion rookery. And today, he's here to talk about this effort and the impacts of fireworks on wildlife that affects wildlife in many areas, not just La Jolla. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
So can you start, Patrick, by telling us a little bit about the history of your organization, the La Jolla Friends of the Seals?
Yeah, I think it's important in lieu of what's happening right now this week with this the whole thing about the July 4th fireworks to go back to the March 1999, because the city of San Diego at that point, I think what it does is it demonstrates a long history of avoidance of a comprehensive management program or protection for the harbor seals at the Casa Beach. I know it as the Casa Beach, being a La Jolla'n for many, many years of my life, but it's known as the Children's Pool Beach. So the harbor seals and the sea lions, who are now inhabiting parts of what they call Point La Jolla, or the rock shelf area to the left or to the west of La Jolla Cove, has become a breeding area for the California sea lions. Two different species. Seals is a general term, so let's just keep on that. But to go back to 99, the city of San Diego, under pressure from locals because the population of harbor seals at the children's pool was starting to increase, the city had this harebrained idea of removing all the sand off the beach. It was known as the Great Dredging, ostensibly to clean up the beach. There was a lot of codswallop and nonsense about, you know, why they were doing it. Basically, it was to chase the seals away.
They were trying to chase the seals away by dredging the sand.
Yeah, I'll make this kind of brief, but it's important to know that the city had no intention of protecting the animals, which had become a major tourist draw, and it had become a rookery, if you will. And what happened was the city voted one vote off not to dredge, and that was in very late March 1999. About 2 weeks later, I incorporated us as a nonprofit, and what we did is formed a docent program in order to become part of that quasi-management of the beach. At that time, it's very important to remember, then council member Juan Vargas, who is now a congress member from our district, he has been, and I want to make this very clear, the only elected official and only politician that is unequivocally called to protect those seals.
Thank you for letting us know that. And of course, Congressman Vargas's district extends out here through the south portion of East County all the way into Imperial County.
So what happened was, right at the end of the vote, it was almost serendipity. He said, why don't we put up some kind of a barrier down there to protect these harbor seals? And in the universe of city government, I was dumbfounded that it actually happened in almost 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, it usually takes years for the park department to do anything or anybody to figure out who's responsible.
Yeah.
But they put up that barrier. It became a legal barrier. No one went on that beach from just about that time all the way, the summer of 99, all the way to 2004 when they La Jolla'ns were filing suit to open up the beach again. So I bring up this story to underscore how remiss the city is in their protection of wildlife.
Yeah, so fast forward to 2019 or 2017, somewhere around there, was the last time they actually did a fireworks show here. There was a lawsuit that stopped it, and then COVID and so forth. And now they're trying to do it again, but the Coastal Commission intervened and said, no, not so fast. You can't do this. Can you explain what led the Coastal Commission to step in and make this decision at this time?
Yeah, we don't know. Let me say that this entire thing has been quite a mystery because it's going around in circles. And maybe I could answer that by starting with the city. They have claimed that they were not given a permit, or they applied too late. A lot of it's just nonsense, because if you look back, they have never received a permit to fire off fireworks. And the permit would have been granted by NOAA, and that's the federal agency responsible for the seals. So it's always been a wink, wink, nod, nod from the federal government to the city. You can do what you want.
But yet they were kind of citing that as a reason, saying, oh, there aren't permits, and yet there haven't been
in
the past.
No.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So Renee Owens with Wild Zone Conservation, who I know you worked with at times, she wrote a letter to the Seal Society of San Diego, Sierra Club, and attorney Brian Peace, who filed one of these suits.
Mm-hmm.
And she says fireworks over these rookeries, which basically are breeding grounds, would cause harassment and increased risk of injury and death to the seals, as well as to bird life. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Well, imagine fireworks going on right over your house on the 4th of July. You know how your dogs react.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Yeah, we're talking about a species who has a pretty precarious relationship with people there already. And I think the fireworks speak for themselves. They're very loud. It's completely out of their purview, out of their norm.
Bright flashing lights.
Yeah, flashing lights. And they're just gone if they can. There's usually a flush, a mad rush to get to the water. There could be injuries at that point. But I think the main thing is that it's just a complete disturbance. We're kind of in the middle of the pupping season for California sea lions that runs approximately from late summer to
I've heard this can cause pups to get separated from the mothers, absolutely, or mothers to abandon the babies.
And I'm glad you used both of those words, because from the beginning that I was involved with this thing, I heard this word of abandonment. But you use the correct word, I think, and they become separated. Mm-hmm. Marine mammals just don't decide, hey, you know, I'm going to abandon my pups. You know, I got to go and get some beer, you know. So that's not what they do. They get separated in a giant melee, and the rest is confusion.
Sure. And of course, the pups aren't old enough to survive on their own. Now, the fireworks, besides the short-term impacts we've mentioned, I understand they can also cause some long-term impacts through the pollution of air and water, which is something that could be a concern for fireworks shows in other areas, such as over Lake Murray here in East County, although this year's show there is canceled due to COVID. Can you explain a little more about the long-term effects that these fireworks can cause and what chemicals are in them?
Well, there's lead, there's mercury, there's iridium, there's all kinds of heavy metals that they use to create the different colors in the fireworks. Mm-hmm. And there's also perchlorates, and they've been found to be pretty bad in general. They've been banned in Europe. And these two things have been found years afterward, after fireworks have even stopped, from 6 to 10 years after in other locations. They're still in the soil. They're still in the water.
Yeah, some of these can cause birth defects.
That's
and
right, yes.
Eggs not to hatch, all
correct
kinds of things.
And one of the main things here is we're not only talking about the seals, the sea lions, or the harbor seals. We're talking about Brant's cormorants and brown pelicans, who just came back from the brink of...
Right. Of DDT almost wiped them out before the EPA protected
them. And they are in a rookery all along the bluff just to the right, or what you would call east of the cove itself. And now the cities went there and pushed them all off at one time and trying to get rid of them. And they came up with more harebrained schemes to clean the bluffs, because a lot of people come to La Jolla, and the locals who don't want the seals, and they say, oh, it smells terrible.
Yeah.
Well, it's not really the seals, it's the birds. You know, there's a lot of guano on those cliffs.
Yeah,
but anyway, that violates the Migratory Bird Treaty Act, and that's something that the city has been remiss in also. They have not even considered that particular law. And they would be, the California Water Quality Board has not been asked or stepped in about the chemicals from the fireworks themselves.
Now, just to tell the other side of the story, since we don't have anybody here, basically the children's pool was donated to the city of San Diego many years ago. It was supposed to be dedicated to the children of San Diego, and then the seals moved in. So the city did have kind of an inherent conflict there. Deborah Marengo, who's the head of the La Jolla Community Fireworks Foundation that puts on this show, said back in mid-June that they were planning to proceed even though the lawsuit had been filed by the Animal Protection and Rescue League, and she claimed all the permits were being finalized or had already been approved. Can you respond to that statement, please?
I don't know that they have, but I'm pretty sure they haven't, because we would have heard more input from the city. Mm-hmm. We would have known that they would have stated that they had these particular permits or what have you. So I'm not really familiar with that. I'm not sure what they're really referring to.
Yeah, interesting.
I think the city backed off basically because of this injunction. It's not a lawsuit. It is an injunction to stop by APRL, the Animal Protection League, and the Sierra Club. Ellen Shively is working diligently with the Sierra Club to provide some education down there. And also they've lobbied the city in pretty heavily to say, look, you can't do this. This is just, you're in the middle of a pupping season with, and by the way, the presence of the sea lions is a relatively new thing in the numbers that they are in.
Now, the organizers of the fireworks show out there are hoping to move the show to a nearby location, because the city has made clear that no matter what, it's not going to happen at the location they wanted, at least not this year. A nearby location could happen, such as La Jolla Shores, and as of our show taping deadline, the Friday before the 4th, no decision's yet been reached. Patrick, do you think an alternative location could be acceptable?
Well, you're probably asking the wrong person, because I don't think so. But I think what's going to happen is they're probably going to look at La Jolla Shores.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a faster alternative, but it is still, by the crow, it's still within probably a mile of the cove.
So still too close. Maybe people shouldn't just enjoy the big bay fireworks, some of the ones out here in East County instead.
So, yeah. But I would say the shores is probably what they're looking at. It seems like the easiest and fastest.
So that could happen, yeah. And if that does, folks, we'll update on our website here at eastcountymagazine.org. We'll get a story up and let you know the latest on that. Now, fireworks are a huge patriotic tradition across the United States, especially on our Independence Day, July 4th. Patrick, Are there any alternatives to put a spectacular sky show on in the future, not only in La Jolla, but maybe other areas, that might be safer for wildlife and yet still enjoyable and festive?
I understand that in Asia they're doing drone fireworks with lights on them. They're programmed to make certain patterns and that sort of thing. They're becoming very popular.
Without the chemicals or the noise.
Absolutely, yes. So there you go. But I think the really important takeaway here is that the city of San Diego has been completely remiss in their management of these marine mammals. And it's time for them to step up and to stop the throwing the hot seal back and forth between them and the feds and the state and all that. If you will, you go to the Casa Beach or the Cove, and here you are. You're 15 feet from a giant 300-pound harbor seal or 500-pound male mother giving birth, and there's no other place you can do this. Think about it for a second.
That makes sense.
And you're literally that far away. You hear a willet going off in the distance. There's a pod of dolphins. You can see the gray whales spouting maybe 1,000 feet off the beach. This is a extremely rich area. You've got the cormorants, you've got the gulls, three different species of gulls. In San Diego County, there's over 450 species of birds. So this is all happening within 15 minutes of the place. And this is the type of vision, and this is the type of thing that the city really needs to transform their thinking on, and they have not done it heretofore.
I would like to take a moment and address the issue of illegal fireworks. Last year, perhaps because there were no big fireworks shows due to COVID, there were a lot of illegal fireworks shows from my home in the La Mesa Mount Helix area. I was actually hearing them go on, I mean, all night long, and for probably over half an hour, we had what looked like a professional fireworks show over Spring Valley. It was complete with finale. And it was so loud that on my own property, I heard the frightened little squeaks of a whole bunch of little animals in a hedge on my property. I'm not sure what it was, whether we had baby skunks or possums or mice or some kind of rodents, but it was really disturbing to me. Yeah. What would you say to those who might be, thinking about firing off some fireworks of their own, which, by the way, are illegal throughout San Diego County?
Yeah, I'd say try to change your thinking. Try to change your attitude towards what is good for you and what is actually good for whatever's around you, animals, other people, and what have you. I think that's the most important thing. And I think that's what's really lacking in our country today is a sense of civility and also a sense of community. We're being very fragmented. So it's easy to let the animals get on the losing end of that as if they haven't already been. So I think that's it right there. And the vision that I was describing just a couple of minutes ago of all these things you can see at the beach, take part in that, enjoy it for what it is. You don't have to make bangs to really enjoy, nature's on the run. And it happens to inhabit a place where you can drive up, park your car, walk 10 feet and see it in La Jolla.
So we're lucky, yes. Let's protect the liberty of the animals as celebrating our nation's independence.
I agree, yeah. I think I've had enough explosions at 4th of July. I think I'm willing to give them up.
Okay. Well, Patrick, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us this holiday weekend on the East County Magazine show on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice.
Yeah, thank you.
This is Miriam Raftery with KNSJ. In honor of Independence Day and the birth of independent media here today, we have lined up some very special interviews. Have you ever wondered what our founding fathers would have said about the news events that are happening now in America? Well, we decided to ask them. That's right. We've conjured up the spirits of 1776, our founding fathers and some founding mothers who fought for the liberties that we enjoy today. Of course, we couldn't really bring them back to life, but we have brought in actors to read in their own words the views of these revolutionary patriots, the radicals of their day. We asked them questions about the hot issues of our times, and the words they spoke over 200 years ago are as relevant today as they were back when America was born. Plus, in the spirit of bringing you all sides to this story, we have also brought in a leader from the Native American community during colonial times, as well as that ruler against whom the colonists rebelled, King George III. And now let's welcome our guests to KNSJ. Yay. Now, could each of you rabble-rousers please start by sharing a favorite quote with our listeners? Let's begin with former President Thomas Jefferson, author of the Declaration of Independence.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Inspiring words. Next, we have Benjamin Franklin, famed statesman, scientist, and newspaper editor. Ambassador Franklin, what's your quote for today?
Rebellion against tyrants is obedience to God.
Thank you, Ambassador Franklin. Next up, Patrick Henry, my ancestor and the former Virginia governor who called the British Stamp Act treason and helped foment the American Revolution.
Give me liberty or give me death!
King George, you had a little different view of this rebellion. Will you please share your reaction?
Once these rebels have felt a smart blow, they will submit.
Never! Never!
George, feel the smart blows themselves.
Your Highness, it didn't quite work out that way. We are also honored to have with us George Washington, the first president of our nation, known as the father of our country, a leader famed for his integrity.
I hold the maxim, no less applicable to public than to private affairs, that honesty is the best policy.
Thank you, Mr. President. Our next guest is Phyllis Wheatley, known as the poet of the Revolution. She once wrote a poem and sent it to General Washington himself. Mrs. Wheatley, can you please share an excerpt?
Proceed, great chief, with virtue on thy side. Thy every action let the goddess guide.
General Washington later invited you to actually meet with him. Can you please read another of your revolutionary verses?
Thick as leaves in autumn's golden rain, such and so many moves the warrior's train.
Now, Mrs. Wheatley also sent poems to British nobility and had her work published in a colonial newspaper. Her accomplishments are even more impressive when you learn that Mrs. Wheatley was a slave at the time, educated by her masters, more fortunate than the vast majority of slaves, of course. She later gained fame for her eloquent defense of liberty for all people, but more on that later. Our next guest is John Adams, diplomat and former president. What's your founding vision?
Government is instituted for the common good, for the protection, safety, prosperity, and happiness of the people, and not for profit, honor, or private interest.
Right, not for profit.
All right. Now we will hear from your wife, Abigail Adams. Mrs. Adams, you were a first lady and a champion for women's rights long before it was fashionable.
If we mean to have heroes, statesmen, and philosophers, we should have learned women.
Amen. Indeed, James Madison, another former president, we have quite a few of them here today, co-authored the Federalist Papers that helped to win ratification of the Constitution. President Madison?
Liberty may be endangered by the abuse of liberty, but also by the abuse of power.
Now, some listeners may not know that the American Revolution divided Native American people. Some tribes sided with the colonists and others with the British. Our next guest is Mohawk Indian Chief Thayenanegaye, also known by his English name, Chief Joseph Brant. He sided with the British during the Revolution and was actually considered one of Britain's finest officers, leading battles against those rebellious colonists. Chief Brant, please explain why you chose to oppose the colonists.
Indeed, it is very hard when we have let the king's subjects have so much of our lands for so little value. The Mohawks have on all occasions shown their zeal and loyalty to the great king, yet they have been very harshly treated by his people.
And finally, Thomas Paine, a corset maker by trade, later a journalist and a pamphleteer who authored Common Sense, or as the British called him, a propagandist. Mr. Paine, what quote would you like to share?
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands now deserves the love and thanks of a man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered.
Thank you, thank you. Now for our first question. How important do you believe it is to have media that is independent, free from control by the government or by powerful corporations? President Jefferson, let's start with you.
Where the press is free and every man able to read, all is safe. Where left to me to decide whether we should have a government without newspapers or newspapers without a government, I should not hesitate a moment to prefer the latter.
Ambassador Franklin, as a former newsman yourself, can you weigh in on the trend toward media censorship of controversial issues?
Whoever would overthrow the liberty of a nation must begin by subduing the freedom of speech. If all printers were determined not to print anything till they were sure it would offend nobody, there would be very little printed.
President Madison, why is a free press important to you?
To the press alone, checkered as it is with abuses, the world is indebted for all the triumphs which have been obtained by reason and humanity over error and oppression.
Next question. Recently, a whistleblower...
Whistleblower? Do you mean a fife player?
No, a whistleblower is someone who sounds an alarm.
Oh, like Paul Revere, our good friend who warned us that the British were coming.
Something like that. This whistleblower revealed that the government has been spying on Americans and accessing our telephone and internet records.
Phones? Internets? What manner of inventions are these?
Ambassador Franklin, I'll be happy to show you how to tweet and surf the net after our interview. I believe you'll be amazed.
Tweet?
But now the government argues that knowing who we communicate with is necessary to protect us from terrorists. Yet others say this violates our constitutional liberties. Ambassador Franklin, what's your view?
They who can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety.
Huzzah! Edward Snowden, the whistleblower who leaked the classified documents, proving that our government has been spying on Americans' phone and internet records, has been charged with treason. There is a very vigorous debate going on as to whether he is a hero or a traitor. King George, what's your definition of a traitor?
A traitor, of course, is anyone who does not agree with me.
Now you can see why they called him Mad King George.
Mr. Henry, in a very famous speech, you denounced the Stamp Act and declared that only colonists should have the right to levy taxes, not the king, and you went on to foment rebellion. Some in the crowd even shouted treason. What was your response?
If this be treason, make the most of it.
No new taxes.
It sounds like the original Tea Party movement. Chief Brandt, you traveled to Europe and were warmly received at the British court. But you raised some royal eyebrows when you were introduced to King George here. Tell us what you said.
I told the king, I bow to no man, for I am considered a prince among my own people. But I will gladly shake your hand.
Shake hands with no man.
President Madison, in your day, the Barbary pirates were considered terrorists. Now drones, spies in the skies, are being deployed along our borders.
Spies in the skies? Do you mean balloons, such as the French launched in Paris?
Drones, actually, are unmanned flying machines, Mr. President.
Flying machines? Imagine that.
Do you believe changing times warrant more intrusion into our privacy to assure that foreign terrorists are not plotting against us?
If tyranny and oppression come to this land, it will be in the guise of fighting a foreign enemy. It is a universal truth that the loss of liberty at home is to be charged to the provisions against danger, real or pretended, from abroad.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Henry, what do you have to say about these recent erosions of our constitutional liberties?
Guard with jealous attention the public liberty. Suspect anyone who approaches that jewel.
Huzzah!
President Washington, are you concerned about a chilling effect on free speech if journalists are monitored?
If the freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent we may be led like sheep to the slaughter.
Mrs. Adams, you once urged your husband, John, to remember the ladies when the Constitution was written.
That I did, though he did not listen.
Shame!
As to your extraordinary code of laws, I cannot bit laugh, my saucy bride. We know better than to repeal our masculine systems.
You may both find it of interest to know that a constitutional amendment finally granted women the right to vote.
Excellent! Excellent!
Though it didn't happen until 1920.
Mercy, what took those men so long?
Good question.
My heavens, this subjects us to the despotism of the petticoat.
But even now, in the year 2013, women are still earning only 77 cents for every dollar earned by men. Mrs. Adams, is your advice to your husband still valid today?
Certainly. All men would be tyrants if they could. If particular care and attention is not paid to the ladies, we are determined to foment a rebellion, and we will not hold ourselves bound by any laws in which we have no voice or representation.
Strong words indeed. Mrs. Wheatley, you once sent a poem to Britain's Earl of Dartmouth, both celebrating American independence and making a case for abolition to bring freedom to African Americans. Can you please share some of that verse?
No more, America, in mournful strain of wrongs and grievance, unredressed complain. No longer shalt thou dread the iron chain which wanton tyranny with lawless hand had made, and with it meant enslave the land. Should you, my lord, while you peruse my song, wonder from whence my love of freedom sprung, whence flow these wishes for the common good, by feeling hearts alone best understood. I, young in life, my seeming cruel fate was snatched from Africa's fancied happy seat.
Thank you. Times have changed since then. The Emancipation Proclamation freed the slaves in the 1860s, and later, African Americans were granted equal rights. Today, we even have a black president.
Glory! Oh. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Your efforts were a key part of those changes. In a letter to a well-known minister here in the colonies, you likened slaveholders to the ancient Egyptians who enslaved the Israelites. As one of the early voices in the abolitionist movement, tell us what words you used to spark his conscience.
For in every human breast, God has implanted a principle, which we call love of freedom. It is impatient of oppression and pants for deliverance. And by the leave of our modern Egyptians, I will assert that the same principle lives in us.
Speaking of Israelites fleeing Egypt for a better life elsewhere, immigration is a hot topic again here today, as it has been for many, many years. President Madison, what is your view?
America was indebted to immigration for her settlement and prosperity. That part of America which had encouraged them most had advanced most rapidly in population, agriculture, and the arts.
Some broadcast media today foments bigotry and racism. President Jefferson, do you find that troubling?
Broadcast media? It sounds narrow-minded. Bigotry is the disease of ignorance, of morbid mind. Here in America, we are destined to be a barrier against the returns of ignorance and barbarism.
Thank you. Chief Brandt, the revolution had an unfortunate consequence for Native Americans, who in seeking to protect their lands and cultural heritage were actually called barbarians. When the war was over, the British ceded lands in America, not to the tribes who fought alongside them, but to the colonists. The war fueled resentment by colonists against those tribes that sided with the British and led to even worse oppression of some Indian tribes. But now in our time, the Idle No More movement has arisen, standing up for Native American rights. What are your thoughts on this?
Idle No More. If this effort demands respect for our sovereign rights, I rise in support. We are tired out in making complaints and getting no redress.
Most of our guests today have advocated for rebellion and fought in the Revolutionary War. In recent years, however, America has gone to war far beyond our own borders, even starting a preemptive war in the Middle East. What are your views on war and peace, President Jefferson?
Peace and friendship with all mankind is our wisest policy, and I wish we may be permitted to pursue it. I have seen enough of one war never to wish to see another. The spirit of this country is totally adverse to a large military force.
President Adams, what are your thoughts?
Great is the guilt of an unnecessary war.
Mr. Franklin, how about you?
There was never a good war or a bad peace. Wars are not paid for in wartime. The bill comes later.
The bill does come later.
Speaking of bills, I'm sure Tea Party listeners out there would want me to ask you about the national debt. President Jefferson, what are your thoughts on that?
The principle of spending money to be paid by posterity under the name of funding is but swindling futurity on a large scale.
Gun violence is on the rise in America today. As a revolutionary, what is your take on the Second Amendment, President Madison?
Americans have the right and advantage of being armed, unlike the citizens of other countries whose governments are afraid to trust the people with arms.
King George, what's your reaction to these armed upstarts in the colonies defeating that powerful British military force of yours?
Knavery seems to be so much the striking feature of its inhabitants that it may not, in the end, be an evil that they will become aliens to this kingdom.
So much for diplomacy. My next question is for Ambassador Franklin. A diplomat himself and a man of science known for his many inventions, including reportedly flying a kite in a storm to prove the workings of electricity.
Dear me, that was a shocking experience.
Ambassador, Technology has seen many advances since your day, including radio and television, instant communications that use electricity.
So the power of lightning has been harnessed at last.
Yes, it has. But now some factions want to defund scientific research and discredit scientists on issues such as climate change, and not the kind you wrote about in Poor Richard's Almanac, I might add.
The rapid progress true science now makes occasions my regretting sometimes that I was born too soon. It is impossible to imagine the height to which may be carried in 1,000 years the power of man over matter. Agriculture may diminish its labor and double its produce. All diseases may, by sure means, be prevented or cured, not even excepting that of old age, and our lives lengthened at pleasure.
Oh, it would be nice to have our lives lengthened. Mm-hmm.
President Jefferson, how important is science in your view?
When I contemplate the immense advances in science and discoveries in the arts which have been made within the period of my life, I look forward with confidence to equal advances by the present generation and have no doubt they will consequently be as much wiser than we have been as we than our fathers were, and they than the burners of witches.
The Supreme Court, in a case called Citizens United, ruled that corporations have the same rights as people and that restrictions on corporate contributions to candidates may not be limited. Mr. Payne, you warned about corporate power in your Rights of Man.
Corporations have a more extensive evil effect than what relates merely to elections. They are sources of endless contentions in places where they exist, and they lessen the common rights of national society.
Thomas Paine speaks the truth.
President Jefferson, the Occupy movement is a protest movement that's arisen over the power of big banks. How seriously do you take such concerns?
I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies.
Now that's a revolutionary thought.
Yeah.
Chief Brandt, in our time, as in the time of the British Empire and colonial days, the rich and powerful sometimes seem to be above the law. You've had some strong words to say on this subject.
In the government you called civilized, the happiness of the people is constantly sacrificed to the splendor of the empire. Hence the origin of your codes of criminal and civil laws. Hence your dungeons and prisons.
Can you tell us how justice has traditionally been meted out in your Native American society?
We have no prisons.
Really?
We have no written laws. And yet judges are as highly revered among us as they are among you, and their decisions are as much regarded. We have among us no exalted villains above the control of our laws. Daring wickedness is here never allowed to triumph over helpless innocence. The estates of widows and orphans are never devoured by enterprising swindlers. We have no robbery under the pretext of law.
Can we imagine how different our world would be if this system were in place today? Now, on another topic, religious freedom and separation of church and state. You founding fathers have some differences of opinion, I understand. Let's start with President Madison.
The purpose of separation of church and state is to keep forever from these shores the ceaseless strife that has soaked the soil of Europe with blood for centuries.
Amen. Amen. Mr. Payne, will you please tell us your opinion?
All national institutions of churches, whether Jewish, Christian, or Turkish, appear to me no other than human inventions, set up to terrify and enslave mankind and monopolize power and profit.
Ambassador Franklin, what's your view?
In the affairs of this world, men are saved not by faith, but by the want of it. But to follow by faith alone is to follow blindly.
Recently, we've seen a trend towards secrecy by our government. How important is it to assure that media can serve as watchdogs to bring forth truth, Mr. Henry?
The liberties of a people never were nor will ever be secure when the transactions of their rulers may be concealed from them.
Yes. Huzzah. Huzzah.
On a lighter note, let's take some questions about pop culture. Another innovation recently is video games. I am sure our younger listeners will want to hear your views on gaming, Ambassador Franklin.
Games lubricate the body and the mind.
Oh. That sounds like Ben Franklin doesn't.
You charmer, you. One constitutional amendment that was passed and later repealed was a prohibition on alcohol. Winemaking has become a growing industry in our region, as it has long been in France, where you spent a great deal of your time, Ambassador. What are your views on imbibing those fruits of the vine?
Wine is constant proof that God loves us and loves to see us happy.
Amen.
I'll drink to that.
President Jefferson, you have been a champion of creating a strong public education system. But today, the price of college has risen sharply, though the current administration is striving to increase funds to help students. Can you tell us who you believe should be entitled to an education and why you think that is important?
The most promising genius, whose parents are too poor to give them further education, to be carried at the public expense through the college and university. The object is to bring into action that mass of talents which lies buried in poverty, and thus give activity to a mass of mind which, in proportion to our population, shall be double or treble of what is in most countries.
Hear, hear.
Thank you. Media bias is a growing concern in modern times, since the consolidation of media has put most major media outlets into the hands of a few big corporations. Mrs. Adams, do you believe it is important for people to hear multiple points of view?
I've always felt that a person's intelligence is directly reflected by the number of conflicting points of view he can entertain simultaneously on the same topic.
Thank you. What advice would you give to those who feel that it's just too much trouble to get involved in protecting our democracy, Mrs. Adams?
We have too many high-sounding words and too few actions that correspond with them.
Mr. Payne, do you agree?
The more difficult the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. An army of principles can penetrate where an army of soldiers cannot.
Mr. Henry, what's your advice to the citizens of today?
The battle is not to the strong alone.
It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave.
President Adams, what's at stake here? Is there a risk in complacency?
Liberty cannot be preserved without general knowledge among the people. Remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide.
Perhaps it takes truth and an informed populace for democracy to survive and thrive. President Washington, what are your closing thoughts as we celebrate the birth of independent media here today?
Truth will ultimately prevail, where there is pain to bring it to light.
President Adams, what advice do you have for our listeners and for future generations?
Knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives.
Yeah. Well said.
Yes.
Well said.
Yes. Ambassador Franklin, are you concerned about election integrity?
Democracy is two wolves and a lamb voting on what to have for lunch. Liberty is a well-armed lamb contesting the vote.
President Jefferson, we'll let you have the final word here on this Independence Day celebration with KNSJ.
I thank KNSJ for inviting us here to remind Americans today why we fought for the independence we won in 1776. I hold it that a little rebellion now and then is a good thing and as necessary in the political world as storms in the physical.
Thank you. If people do stand up for those rights enshrined by you founding fathers and mothers, how optimistic are you for our nation's future, President Jefferson?
I like the dreams of the future better than the history of the past.
Thanks to all of you for joining us on this very special 4th of July celebration, and I hope that everyone listening will have a festive and spirited Independence Day. This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Royalty Free Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine Radio Show or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show.